Man, we're looking back at our calendar. Over 7 years ago, Pastor Miles called me, and like you said, it took me a while to regather myself after a pastor called me and asked me questions about Madagascar. We just praise the Lord for Pastor Miles, his heart for missions, and just the pastor that he is. He's got a pastor's heart, and we've always enjoyed that. And I want to let you know that we're your missionaries to the country of Madagascar, but we're also just your partners. We're in a partnership with you, and we pray for you guys, just as you guys pray for us. And we want to let you know that we care for you guys. And it's not just about the gifts, but it is, we're together in a ministry to tell others about Jesus Christ, just as you guys are doing here. And we were talking this morning over breakfast about that too. You guys have a wonderful ministry just here in your own area. You don't have to go abroad. You don't have to go overseas to do this. But we're just your partners in reaching the island of Madagascar. If we can swap that over, and if I can find that. But Matthew, our six-year-old, he was born here in the United States while we're still on deputation. He's actually in Florida right now because of school. He's not with us. Then my daughter Sarah, my little buddy Nathaniel, and our newborn Abigail. Those three are with us today. That's 4, 2, and 0. They're all born. They're pretty easy to remember their birth dates. They're born on the April 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and May 24th. So they're pretty easy to keep up with. You just got to remember which one is which. But they're here with us. We're, like I said, we're missionaries to Madagascar. I want to see, this is going to be a little bit informal today. I'm more of an informal person. I like to get to know people. How many people live in Georgia? Let me see, raise a hand. I mean, I'm living, and we're here in Georgia, so I'm sure a lot of people live in Georgia. This island right here, to compare it to the state of Georgia, is actually 4 times the size of the state of Georgia. So when you think of an island, don't always think of a small island. This is a pretty good-sized island. 4 times the size of the state of Georgia. It's the 4th largest island in the world. Right now, there's 22 million people living on this island. It's growing at approximately almost 1 million people per year. It's a very fast-growing country, but many of them have never heard of Jesus Christ, and I'll go into that a little bit more. This is a blow-up map of Madagascar. Over here on the far right, sorry, I have to think about that sometimes. On the far right is Tana. It's actually called Antananarivo. It's the capital of Madagascar. And then you'll see this red line, if you can see it, goes to here. That's actually a paved road to Suramandidi. That's the end of the paved road. Then this is our dirt road, as you'll see, that goes all the way up to Maintiranu. We live in the town of Maintiranu. It's a port city, but there's really no other way to get to it through except for the dirt road or by a boat. And I've never taken the boats. I'm not sure if I ever will take a boat. There are sailboats that decide to go a long ways away from the coast to make it from the port city to Maintiranu. But that is our transportation. That's the only way that we can get to where we live, and that's the only way that we get supplies, food, materials. In Maintiranu, it's a very seasonal town, and when it's the rainy season, we have what we have. A lot of times, that dirt road is impassable, so we cannot get supplies in, and if we can get it through a boat, we can, but a lot of times, because of weather, we're not allowed to get the boats going through either. A little bit close up. That road is 410 kilometers long, the dirt road. That's roughly 230 miles, I believe, of just dirt road. If this video works, I don't know how to do it. This is actually during the dry season. And this guy did really good. This is called a Taxi Bruce. We use these when our vehicles isn't working. This is their mode of transportation. This one's actually a very nice taxi, Bruce. Usually it's a Land Cruiser that's about 30, 40 years old, and they stuff about 18 people into it. And it's an interesting ride. A lot of times you have to get out to walk to go from one location to another. Just to show you a little bit about what we go through, this is a river crossing that we have to cross. Depending on the time of the year, the time of the season, depending on rains, it's interesting. This time is not too bad. This is actually the location that my truck broke down, and I spent 3 weeks fixing it. This is halfway between the dirt road, halfway on the dirt road. So when my vehicle broke down, I was halfway in it. I couldn't go home, and I couldn't get back to the main city. I had to wait until a taxi Bruce came to actually get our to go buy a new motor, actually, or parts of a motor. This is us trying to get the motor out. You'll see the replacement motor that I have down here that we actually tried it. It was not exactly the same fit of the motor, so we actually had to rebuild the rebuild and take the camshaft out. If you know anything about cars, take the camshaft out, replace it with my old camshaft, hope the bearings work, and put it back together. It's been running now for almost 2 years like that. We praise the Lord it hasn't broken down. As I was talking to Pastor Miles, I am surprised. When you work out in the environment like this, you have a lot of dust, dirt, mud. That doesn't do good for engines. So we praise the Lord. The Lord looked over us. We were able to actually find a motor that we could use in Surumandidi. Now, this is just another look at the dirt road. Once you get on it, it just keeps on going. My children actually love the dirt road, especially when it's muddy. They enjoy it. My daughter will stand up. It's a double cab. My daughter will stand up behind it and just laugh the whole way through because it's like a roller coaster ride to her. Me and my wife were up there sweating, just praying that the Lord will let us through, knowing that if we get stuck, we'll be here for a day or two, and then my children won't be happy anymore. This is in Maintiranu. This is our grocery store. If you think of Maintiranu, try to imagine the Wild West. It truly is. All of our supplies go through a general store like this. This is actually a Tanzanian. He actually speaks really good English. But he is our main guy of supplies. We'll go to him, ask him what we need. He'll actually make a command, and they'll have it boated down to us, shipped down to us. So when you think of Maintiranu, think of Wild West. We actually have Dahalu, which is a form of bandits that we don't fight with, but it's a constant harassment on the dirt road that taxi Bruces really have a hard time with. The taxi Bruces, we imagine them as stagecoaches. It truly is like a stagecoach. You could just go on and on about analogies. But Maintiranu is like living in the Wild West. So if you think of anything, think of the Wild West when you think of praying for us. That's kind of what we're going through. That's a lot of times you have to wait for things. You have to be patient. Sometimes you just have to do without. There's a lot of Muslims in that area. But when you think of Muslims, for us, don't think of bad. They are a different belief, but they're not very staunch Muslims. This guy right here is actually a Muslim, and he has been one of two Muslims there that have been more than generous to us. In Maintiranu, we only have one bank. That bank has no ATM, so when we have to get our money, we have to do a wire transfer. That can take up to over a month to get a wire transfer to come to us. So a lot of times we're stuck out there without money. This guy and another guy has been more than generous to us. He knows our situation. They live in the same situation. And just like in the Wild West, they actually have an account for us. And they say, okay, we know your money's not here, but you can get this. And as soon as your money comes, you just give it back to us. So it's amazing to see and have a testimony with these other Muslims in Maintiranu. This is the market We have no grocery stores in Maitiranu. This is the open air market, and as you see, they just sit out and sell whatever goods they have. We have coconuts, lemons down here, citron is lemonade, bananas. All of your goods you have to get in the open air market. Back there is actually the meat market behind. You can't see it, but it's all out in the open. To tell you a little bit about what we've been doing, let me start out with the airplane and tell you about how the Lord has provided. Since I've been here, we were talking about getting an airplane. Well, the Lord has graciously provided for an airplane. In 2007, let me think about this for a second, 2009, the Lord provided an airplane. My coworker was back in the States looking around, and he found this airplane that was in another missionary organization, and they basically gave it to us for the cost that they had in it. And we praised the Lord for that. We completely paid it off, had the airplane and ready to go, shipped it to Madagascar. As you see here, here is the container. Inside the container, you'll see the hangar, the airplane, my co-worker's personal goods. We fit a lot into a 40-foot container. The hangar right there on both sides, the airplane with its tail sticking out, the two wings on both sides, all strapped down. We praise the Lord that it arrived safely, no damages. There was one damage, but in the overhaul of all that was in there, we praise the Lord. This, we actually took this out of the port city on the, like I say, I have to wait, on the east side of Madagascar. Yes, we live on the west side. On the east side of Madagascar, and then we actually had to truck all of this stuff across the island to get to our position in Maitiranu. So you'll see the hangar coming out, the airplane, the wings. They did inform us that they didn't put the container on the ground until we got out there, and they said you have a couple hours to get the airplane out. Well, it's up on top of a truck chassis, and to get an airplane out of that is an interesting feat. We didn't even think about that. So we had to make up a contraption, and you're talking lots of money if something falls down, and a lot of damage to people. We actually made up a hoist on top of the thing and hoisted the airplane down. It was a scary hour when we did that, but we made it out safely. That's the airplane as it came out, the wings as we installed it, and this is somebody else's hangar that they allowed us to use while we put the airplane together. Right now it's in a flyable state. That's one thing you guys can pray about us for still, is we're still working on the paperwork on the airplane. We were allowed to use the airplane for 6 months as it's American registered. But just as you drive a vehicle here, if you go to another state, you have to re-register that vehicle. Well, imagine trying to re-register a vehicle in a foreign country from a different foreign country. We've been battling this for almost a year and a half now. We've always been constantly going back and forth with them. When we get the paperwork to submit to them, they tell us, well, we've changed our requirements, now you need this other piece of paperwork. But that paperwork that you just worked on for a month, we don't need that anymore. But thank you for working on that. So it's just been a constant battle back and forth with them. But we praise the Lord, just actually last week, we got their final approval to do a test flight. So what is today? Today's Sunday. The test flight was done on Tuesday of this last week. So we're really looking forward to using this plane. We're waiting for their final approval to sign off the piece of paperwork and say that we're allowed to use this airplane and that it's registered in the Madagascar country. So please pray for that. We're still fighting that paperwork. This is our lifeline. As I mentioned earlier, this is our lifeline. Without an airplane, our ministry is very much hindered. And I'll show you a little bit about where we're wanting to go with our ministry and how the airplane is our tool. As you saw, the hangar, we were able to lease property. You'll see a little bit of the property down here, but this is our hangar. This is our runway in Maitiranu. It's actually a double runway. dirt strip. If you'll see out over here, here's the town of Maintaranu. I live back here. And then our beach. Maintaranu is called Dark Waters, is actually the meaning of Maintaranu. And it is very much dark. Another shot of the airfield where we're planning on putting the hangar. This is the hangar as it's designed, what it's going to look like, and I'll show you a little bit about how this has already progressed. It's a Quonset-style hangar. That's a dark picture. Never mind. We found a compactor out in Maintaranu. How do you find that? I don't know. Lord dropped that one out of the sky. And then we dug for the footers. This is my contractor. He did a great job. Everything there is done by hand. At one time, we actually had a cement mixer. That did not last very long. But everything that you see here was completely done by hand. All cement was mixed by hand. And you're talking a lot of cement. All the molds, handmade molds. And then we actually built the hangar up a little bit to put the Quonset hut down into, to give us a little bit more room. All bricks are also all made by hand. You can't just go down to your local place and buy bricks at Home Depot or Lowe's. You actually have to make everything and make a command and wait for it and hope that it arrives. It's mud, and they know what they're doing. I do not know what they're doing sometimes, but they do a good job at it. The sewage, all dug by hand. This is Robert Burdett. This is my coworker. He just arrived last year with the airplane and with the hangar. He is now fully supported, and he's actually in the town of Maintaranu as I'm speaking right now. He's preaching in the services in the church of Maintaranu. He graduated at the same school as I did. His wife was a missionary kid with my wife on the mission field in Paraguay. So we know each other a lot. So it's a great partnership. We know each other and where we're trying to go. And a lot of times you get teammates and they're trying to go opposite directions. We praise the Lord for Bobby and Joanna Burdett. They've just been a partner with us and achieving the same goal for God. So we put the hangar together. A lot of times we did it at night. There is a problem with that. If you look at the scaffolding, one part goes that way, one part goes that way. That did not work so good. That hangar actually fell down 3 times while we were trying to construct it. It's the first part of trying to get that first arch up, which is a challenge. We decided to try to use some of the trucks that they use for transport to help us. And, well, that truck actually broke down, and we had to push it out of the way. So sometimes what your first plan is on the mission field is never what it's going to be in the end. But we were able to get the hangar going and put it up. I don't know what happened there. My pictures are out of order. That might have been where it fell down. Maybe that's what it was. Okay. And then once we got it going, then we got a team together and we were able to put it up pretty fast. It's a Quonset hut. The military uses it a lot as a temporary hut, a temporary hangar that they can transport to another location. That's one of the main reasons why we got it. Another one is it's cyclone proof. That's a very important thing to have in a hangar when you're living on the coast and having cyclones. But it's also, like I said, it's transportable, so in case we do move our location further out into the bush, that we can actually move our hangar with us. The back building that we're constructing, sorry about these pictures, they're a little grainy. This was actually the first time that we pulled our airplane into the hangar just for the night, and we were glad to see that it fit. We were a little worried about that. It was actually a cyclone was coming while we were putting this hangar up, so we were starting to become rushed to get this done before everything came about. The back building has now been put up. Welding that's done, all hand weld. Rebar that's re-emplaced inside of the hangar. Like I said, all this cement is actually all done by hand. All the laying of it, all of the trolling of it, everything is done by hand. This is something that you probably won't see in the States. Not your typical way of doing it, especially with a hammer. I don't know what he was thinking. But he's a great guy, and I love him. He does a great job. He knows what he's doing. We praise the Lord for Simon and his help with us during this. If this video works, which I don't think it will, but it kind of shows a little bit more of the overview of the hangar. As you see right there is the cement mixer. It lasted for about 10 minutes. And then the motor quit, and we dumped all the cement that was in it out and did it all by hand. I was like, do you really want to do this by hand? Oh, yeah, this is how we do it. Go at it. So they decided to mix everything by hand. That hangar is a 55-foot hangar, 55 by 60-foot hangar. It's a pretty good-sized hangar. And the cement pad right there is actually at least 4 inches thick with rebar interlaced in through it all. 4 inches by 55 by 60 is a lot of cement. And not to mention the walls that were all done, all the cement blocks. That's a lot of cement to do by hand. The Lord watched over us, gave us protection. Nobody got hurt. Well, one guy got hurt. He stubbed his toe on rebar. But, yeah, I mean, that's because they don't wear shoes. So, what do you expect? But we now have the back building finished with the windows installed. And a roof on it, and a porch that's a little bit added onto it. But that's what the hangar was that we were planning on designing, and that's how it ended up. We're still working on the front doors. If you can continue to pray for us on that, we're engineering what we're going to do still on the front doors. A Quonset hut cannot take any support on itself, so all your support has to be done from outside. So we're trying to develop how we're going to get these posts up. Where are we going to get the posts from? Two, how to get them up. And then how to make a span of 40 feet across without any support for the doors and make it cyclone-proof. Minor details, but we're trying to do that. But prayer requests that you can pray for us about the airplane, for the completion of the paperwork on the airplane's registration. Wisdom for Bobby as he's still building the doors and supervising over that for the completion of the repair of the station work. We're still, one other thing that I didn't mention, we have to go through a whole new process of paperwork to get approved to work on our own airplane. Myself and my coworker are both certified aircraft mechanics, inspectors. We can do everything we need to on our own airplane. Now we're trying to get the government there to approve us to do that. We got the approval. We're still working on the approval for the airplane. Pray for the approval of our repair station. We got to get a certified repair station done. Wisdom for our team as we're still working on our mapping out areas of outreach. Lalina is our national coworker. He's from Anseda Bay, where we were first learning the Malagasy language. He's a great national pastor, and we praise the Lord for him. He felt the Lord's calling him to partner with us in Maintenanu. So he's been out there with us. I tell you what, without a partner, a lot of things would not happen. And there's a lot of times that he's cried on my shoulder, and a lot of times I've cried on his shoulders. And it's been a true partnership. I can't say enough about this man. He's my best friend. So he's our national coworker. Working with us in Maintenanu. When we first got out to Maintenanu, he was actually out there before us looking for a house. He found some people, and they started doing some Bible studies. These two young people in the front were actually the first two that we were able to talk with, and we were holding Bible studies in their house. So when we got out there, we actually had two people that we were working with. And it's amazing to see the Lord just work through those two people and continue to work in outreach of others in Maitaranu. One of the house. We soon felt that we needed to get out of the house situation, and we found this house that we remodeled into a church building. A lot of work was put into this. And you'll see a lot of our ministry in Maitaranu has been laying the foundation. We're laying the foundation for what's coming ahead. So it's hard to show presentations of building projects, so I'll try to speed this up. But if, there are, once again, Simon helping us with this. Once again, you don't just go down to Lowe's and pick up wood. You have to go and pick it out, and then they hand saw it to your specifications. We tiled the inside. We actually made this into a very nice building that we use for the church. Some of the people that come faithfully. Our church is called Kingunana Baptista Biblique Maitaranu. It's the Bible Baptist Church of Maitaranu. It's the, and I'll show this later, it's the only one within 140 miles of this location of any like faith Bible preaching Baptist or Bible preaching church. Lalina again helping. Narcisi, one of the men that was baptized, he is a, sorry, I'm having a hard time thinking in English. He is a salesperson of stuff at the market. I don't know how you just say that. Anyways, he's a salesperson that got baptized, and we praise the Lord for him. He's been very faithful in helping and assisting and learning the Bible and leading services with the kids. My wife, this is, we're actually talking here with the landlady of this house that we rebuilt. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She lives out further in the bush. And my wife here showing her, this is some of the materials that we use. It's called Source of Light materials, really close to here. We've translated this into the Malagasy language, and now we're using that as a discipleship program in Madagascar. This is our people on Christmas, 2010. Some of the kids. Safidi, the kid there in the blue, he just recently got saved and baptized, and he's an amazing kid. I love him. My wife teaching the kids outside. We actually ran out of room in our church building. We're actually looking for new property right now. But we ran out of room, and my wife has to teach outside. We just pray that it doesn't rain that day, that it's not too sunny or too hot. This is Easter Sunday, 2011. Some of the men there in Maitaranu, Fidel is actually my neighbor. This is Narcisi again, along with Lalina. We had an Easter picnic. Easter is a big thing. Picnics are a big thing. So we had a church Easter picnic, and we went out to another town and used their school property. And these women were at the market, and they decided to come over and see what was happening. So we had a great opportunity to witness to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's great to see nationals continuing the work and taking the gospel to their own people. Two ladies in the church with their children. How we have a picnic. Sack races, they love that. Rice is their main staple of food there. If they don't have rice, they don't feel like they've eaten. So you have to have rice in whatever you do. This was the baptismal service. This was the national pastor in Anstra Bay. We actually flew him in with the airplane when it was operational, so he could preach in the services there. As I mentioned, we're 140 miles from any other church. So we're very much isolated, and the people in Maitiranu also feel very isolated. So we actually flew in this pastor to show them that there's others out there of like faith. That's one of the big things, is a lot of times they think we're only out there by ourselves. But to show them that God's work is not just here, but it's working out abroad also. So we flew him in. He's actually the sending pastor of Lalina. So we praise the Lord for that. Baptismal, we do that out in a tidal pool out near the ocean. The four men that got baptized that Sunday. These people, all of them are learning the Bible and progressing on to teach others. Justin, right there, retired from the military. He's very faithful in reading his Bible. Please pray for his wife. His wife is a Catholic, very staunch in ancestry worship right now, and we're still working to reach her. His heart is for her, and he's trying to teach her the Bible. Some of the children love going to the baptismal. They get to ride in the back of the pastor's car. We actually pull a trailer behind that's our school bus. That's the church bus. Once again, rice, and more rice. Joanna, our other co-worker. And this is the baptismal service that Bobby just recently had. Right after we left Madagascar to come on our furlough, four people were baptized, and to see them, Safidi baptized, and Inzatu and Norsi, is as they're continuing on also. Pray for wisdom on the congregation and the church as we're still organizing the church, for the church to continue to have an excellent testimony in Maitiranu, for spiritual growth of the new believers, salvation of family members, as I mentioned, and wisdom as we're still looking for a property. This is just to show you a little bit of the ministry that we have in Maitiranu. I'd like to show with you really fast our DVD presentation that shows you a little bit more of our heart and where we're wanting to go. As I mentioned, we're just laying the foundation right now for where we're trying to go. But we've seen great results. We've seen God work. We've seen starting from two people to a church that's constantly holding every Sunday and seeing more people coming and accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So it's been our honor to be your missionaries in Madagascar, and we thank you so much for your prayers. Let me show you, if I can do it, and that wasn't the key, a little bit more about the ministry in Madagascar. I wish I had more time, but if you have any questions, feel free to ask us questions at the back. As you see there, we ask for three things. We need your prayers, among anything else. Pray for our health. As you know, the Lord's, it's been rough, but we know the Lord's been there. And pray for our health. Pray for our safety as we're on the roads. Pray that we'll gain more financial support. That's one of the reasons why we're back this term, is to gain some more support. It doesn't matter if I take my plane. It doesn't matter if I take the car. I still need that gas to get to these people, to tell them about Christ. Many of them have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. We use it here as a cuss word. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. I've gone into those villages, surveyed them, and asked them if they know who Jesus Christ is. And they look at me with a blank stare. Who is Jesus? Pray for us that we'll have wisdom as we go into those places. But among anything else that we need your prayers, but we need more people. This is a vast island, four times the size of the state of Georgia. The area that we're going into is actually a four. Let me think about this for a second. is a half the size of the state of Georgia. It's still a pretty good-sized place with no major roads. To try to get around, it's very difficult. But that's where the Lord's placed upon our hearts, to reach to those people. These people are the most unreached people groups in the island of Madagascar. Madagascar is a very unreached area, but the area that we're wanting to go into is even more unreached. And so we pray that others will enlist with us, to come with us, to support us, to come with us and do the ministry to tell others about Jesus Christ. There's so much to be done and so little time to do it in. And we just thank you, Pastor Miles, for your support of us. Thank you guys for your prayers, support for us. As we've been through malaria, we've been through tuberculosis, we've been through, who knows how many times. Other things that's been upon us, but the Lord's showed himself faithful through it all. And it's amazing to see God, his hand, just continue on. And we know, as I was mentioning to Christian today, we know Satan does not want us in this area. This is a very unreached area that Satan has had his hand upon for many years. And we're stepping into his area that he's claimed. But God has already claimed this area. And to open up that area, to show people for Jesus Christ, Satan doesn't want to let it go. We're fighting against, there is a spiritual battle. There's constantly a spiritual battle. But we praise the Lord for what he has already done. And we thank you so much for your prayers for us during this time.